Does negativity come from the words you speak? Does positivity come from the words you speak? About 50% of humanity believes that positive thinking is what is going to bring home the bacon, suppressing negative thought, negative desires. I saw a video yesterday that even the Dalai Lama's talk is interpreted as positive thinking. He says, a small positive thought in the morning can set your whole day on a positive spin. What he doesn't say is that the kind of positive thoughts people have aren't the kind that create a positive spin. Au contraire. Just the opposite, they turn your day into shit. I once had a client who lived and still lives in the small upstate New York town where I live. Syracuse, New York. He said, and lived by, that Syracuse is a dark town, no sun. I attempted to teach him to look at the sky before he says that, and find the tiny spot where the sun is most visible behind the clouds, and say, the sun is shining through the clouds in Syracuse. That sentence would have set his whole day on a positive spin. It is a meaningful sentence that brings into focus the invisible, the important, the immediate, instead of what should be. So negativity is in the words. But this is not as obvious as you would think. The real meaning or the words, the real negativity is hidden from the speaker's and the listener's point of view. Your point of view. My current Bible I listen to every day is Mazzi's The Art of Hunting Humans. The most important teaching in that book is that your perception organs see, hear, taste, smell, feel everything, but the brain/mind, messenger, applies a filter, so consciousness doesn't get privy to the information the perception organs attempt to communicate. My one-time client cannot see the sun. You cannot see whatever you cannot see. Cannot feel. Cannot hear. One of my playground students asked yesterday. I paraphrase for your sake, is there a way to tell if I misdiagnose what actually happens in an incident of mine, and therefore I try to fix the wrong thing? That question is a dead giveaway that the person cannot see, cannot hear, because her filter, your messenger, blocks the message. So the answer to her question, the way to tell is that you are talking. Lol. Not funny. Your whole world, your whole personal reality is based on misdiagnosis. And nothing in reality can change it, unless something unusual that happens. Like you learn to disengage the messenger, the mind. And get the messages straight and undiluted, from your body. In Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World, written 88 years ago, we see all the elements of humanity being a puppet, unable, unwilling, incapable to face reality today, in spite of the fact that in our day and age natural birth is still the norm, so in this regard we're still alphas. If you haven't read it, here are the salient points of the book. In the time the story plays out, natural birth was discouraged, although sex was rampant. Birth was in vitro. In tubes. The embryos were brought up in five different conditions, thus creating five castes, alphas, betas, gammas, deltas and epsilons. If I remember correctly. Alphas were individuals. Betas were clones, two of a kind. Gammas were made hundreds from one egg, etc. They were also fed differently. Alphas were fed nutrients. Betas, less nutrients, some poisons, and gammas is mostly poisons that affected their brain only. Soma holiday they are all fed words. Subliminally, throughout their whole lives, words to live by, words that make any human become a weakling, crave only good feelings, be a positive thinker. To support that, the born specimens are fed soma, a drug that makes pleasant feelings in the body and the mind. Otherwise, those alphas and betas and gammas aren't different much you, they work, they sex, they eat, they love entertainment, and they need their soma very frequently. Because without the soma life was unbearable to them. Life is nearly, wholly unbearable, depending on your expectations. If you expect your every experience to be nice, and positive, then it is hell. If you expect happiness a high excitement level state, you'll consider yourself always unhappy. If you expect nothing to disturb your peace, well, you know how angry you get. Being brought up in a test tube, or being brought up by a mother who wants you to be as little trouble, and as much a clone as possible, is very similar. Your permission to be an individual is between zero and none. If you continue living the way your mother has conditioned you, it takes courage, and the practiced ability to take hard blows, irritation, unpleasantness, fear and danger, all that comes with life to become a person, to be an individual, to become a producer, to live a life where the hard blows, the irritation, the unpleasantness, etc. won't turn your life into hell, where you can see that life is life. The difference between people who live in perpetual misery and people who live in life the way it comes, with occasional moments of misery, is just an ability. I call it TLB. TLB is an acquired ability, the ability to dance in the rain, and not allow any of that unpleasantness to run and ruin your day. Unpleasantness is just unpleasantness. Not all of life. Life happens to everyone. The exact same circumstances cause starkly different results for different people. The one who takes it has a great life, the second may. Lives a humdrum but bearable life, the third suffers. Royally. The biggest difference is, in addition to your TLB, and maybe the cause of your TLB, is the words you repeat, whether in your head or out loud. Because you are listening to those words. And they become your reality. I listened to the recording of a partner call yesterday. Both partners are mothers, both daughters are difficult people, whether by nature, or by how they have been treated before this course, I won't decide now. My hunch is that the mother's behavior made the girls difficult people. But we are creating a new reality in this course, so it won't matter much whose mistake it was, who could be blamed. We are not in the blaming business. At my suggestion, both mothers have taken on the challenge to consider their daughters a person. One was able to have fun and love as a consequence, the other, not. The still unhappy mother shares that she simply doesn't like her daughter. That she would not want to be friends with her. She says, repeatedly, sentences, like you know, I have such a hard time playing. There is nothing fun about me. I am not fun. I am too serious. These and similar sentences about self, about her ability to enjoy, what she says about life, causes her life to feel like the life one of those gammas, maybe even betas, but definitely not one of those alphas. The words you repeatedly and unconsciously say limit who you can become to who you have already been. Given the way children are brought up today, the parents' main concern is that the children don't get in the way, that they don't get into trouble, that the child doesn't make them look bad, a bad parent, that the parent needs to farm them out to be taught, teachers, the TV as babysitter, buying hundreds of toys. All moves are intended for the parent to be able to feel that they still have a life, because the parent can't tolerate any unpleasantness themselves. I had a huge turning point in my life in 1996. I was 49 years old. A client recommended that I try to get behavioral eye treatment to deal with my narrow cone of vision, and my agoraphobia. I did the treatments. They lasted 6 months, one session a week in the doctor's office, and had to do certain exercises every day. The hardest exercise was crawling on the floor, exploring the world from that eye level. It wasn't comfortable, but I did it. It also turned out that I have hip dysplasia. Don't ask, it is not fun. Looking back, that crawling was the single most significant exercise I have ever been asked to do. I explored the underside of things, the parts that are invisible when you walk or sit in a room. I saw things from up close, from far, and I remember crawling closer to see. Wondering what it is. Altering my whole relationship to reality. 1. I started to look at life as discovery, adventure, that didn't offer up its pearls until I went and explored them. I stopped blaming life. I started to see how I can be cause in my life experience, even in what happens in my life, and how I look at it. My vibration, in hindsight, was 100 when first went to the doctor. 180 at the end of the 6 months. Behavior modification affected my vibration, my whole attitude towards life. My hunch is that without that behavior modification I would still have a vibration of 100. And this program you are witnessing would have never happened. I am posting the part of that partner call that talks about crawling and the behavioral changes it causes. https://if501169592b9dd521b5ed563e25508422182c681a30.s3.amazonoz.com/crawling.mp3. P.S. I hear myself saying a few times on any given day, I don't feel well. I stop what I am doing, and I am looking. I muscle test the question, is this mine? 90% of the time it isn't. And when it is, I use it to see what the body is saying. What of my behaviors has led to me feeling crappy? What happens most often is that I ate something that didn't agree with me. Maybe too much. Maybe not how I am supposed to eat, my eating style. I use the feeling to guide me to pay attention to what I eat and how I eat. 2. Once I diagnose my role in the feeling, I can safely return to what I was doing, and my activity was barely interrupted for a minute. Sometimes I discover that a food or a beverage that I wasn't allowed to eat or drink, became available and allowed again. This morning I had too much coffee with hemp milk. My body complained. Nausea is the language my body uses for this. So I looked what else I could use as a hot beverage, given the Arctic temperatures inside and outside of my apartment. Could I, maybe, drink green tea? And for the first time in 2 or 3 years, muscle tests said yes. But even before I muscle tested it, the body said, yes. How? I can't explain. It was humming with it. Lol. So here I am, sipping hot green tea, and I am happy as a clam. I use my feelings to guide me in life. Note, that feelings are not emotions. Emotions are what guide you. To utter unhappiness, anger, dissatisfaction, impatience, desire trap, etc. No. I am using the feelings of the body. Not the emotions. So when someone asks me, how do you feel about becoming young again? I snort. I know the questioner is unhappy. What you don't do, if your worldview is that life should be pleasant at all times, is use your feelings as guidance. And you get stuck in a perpetual complaint that life isn't providing you with the pleasant feelings you so want. As George Bernard Shaw said so eloquently, the weak may not be admired and hero worshipped, but they are by no means disliked or shunned, and they never seem to have the least difficulty in marrying people who are too good for them. They may fail in emergencies, but life is not one long emergency, it is mostly a string of situations for which no exceptional strength is needed, and with which even rather weak people can cope if they have a stronger partner to help them out. And then somewhere else, this is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being thoroughly worn out before you are thrown on the scrap heap, the being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clot of ailments and grievances complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. And a third quote, progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds, cannot change anything. Tilde George Bernard Shaw. In my upcoming new course, Learn to Heed Your Inner Authority, I will be teaching people to feel their feelings. Physical feelings, which is not as easy as you think it should be. How to interpret those feelings is a whole other bag of beans. But without feeling your feelings, the question is moot. In the end, I'll have a one-on-one conversation with every Live Course participant to help them interpret their feelings. Will I include the same thing to the recorded course participants? No. I won't. They can book a session at my regular rates if they want it. Here is the link to sign up to the course. It will be on Monday afternoons, starting in about 2 weeks. No refund after the course starts. You can upgrade from recorded to live, just send me an email. Go to step 2, https://www.yourvibration.com/1/inner-authority. P.S. If you use the big bundle to connect your brain, messenger, and consciousness, this whole process is about 100 times easier. P.P.S. I just got up from my computer and I am feeling dizzy. My body tells me that it responded to the idea of green tea, not the actuality. The actuality is that all tea is full of mold spores, that your body can either deal with or not. Mine cannot. So although I got a yes from my body, the body changed its mind, and unless I stay connected to my feelings, I keep doing something because at some point the body was mistaken. So that is an important learning, stay aware, stay awake, stay present. Or else. Footnotes. I occasionally, 2 to 3 times a week, do something similar while in bed. I look at the bookshelf in my bedroom, that is just out of range for my nearsighted eyes to be able to read the titles. And I practice zooming in, and restoring the titles from the shapes, the length of the words. Never get tired of it. Still in discovery mode, after all these years. Refer to the eating style article. The how and when of your eating is even more important for your well-being than the what. https://www.yourvibration.com/351159/testing-your-eating-style/.